Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So there are a lot of changes. The world is different now. I've been thinking on and off, been thinking very frequently. Why God called us to be a praying church? Every church should be praying. Why call us to be a praying church? So if God called us to be a praying church, we better pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, anything that happens, you know, God is going to hold us responsible. He's not going to hold the government responsible. He's going to hold the church responsible. And Jesus told Brother Hing a long time ago, he said, anything happened to the American government, say, I'll hold the church responsible. So we better pray. Because it used to be a unipolar world, now it's a multipolar world. It's different. That's why we pray. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise. Because the war in Iran is not over yet, I don't know what's impact going to be down the road. It means next year. Let's look at this scripture. Then we pray over the tithes and offering. Proverbs 11:24-25. Give freely and become more wealthy. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. This is God's principle of prosperity. Amen. In the natural, whatever is given seems it's a loss. But in God's principle, spiritual law is different. Give freely, you become more wealthy. You try to hoard and hold things. It's demonic. Sometimes you see in the newspaper, in the HDB flat, some people, they hoard things. So the HDB flat full of rubbish in there. You know why? Demonic. It's demonic. Don't think it's just rubbish in the house. Okay? It's demonic. When I was young, my grandmother used to keep those Tai Hong biscuit tin in those containers. They store it up somewhere else. I mean, it was rusty, still keeping it. But you know, her house is not like what you see in the newspaper, the house full of rubbish. I look at it, the Tai Hong biscuit tin, rusty, you still keep. So you must understand that mentality. You know, last time we used to have a guy in our church. He's on scholarship because he took the scholarship, it was a British scholarship. So it's not our Singapore government that when you give him full scholarship, it's a full scholarship. You always got money, you got balance one. Where he took a scholarship from UK and insufficient, and that has an impact on his life. He become more, like this scripture says, doesn't give as freely. It has an impact on his life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you. For your word is always true. When we give freely, we become more wealthy. We thank you, Lord. We refresh others. We shall be refreshed ourselves. We thank you, Father. When we give, we thank you, Lord, for multiplying back to us. We thank you, Lord. And we also worship you with our tithes, acknowledging all that we have is your blessings. We thank you. We also worship you with our tithes, and we also give you thanks for all that we have with our tithes. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, it's because of your tithes, we can, up today, can still continue to function. Amen. There's no lack in this church because I believe God will always provide. God called me in the ministry, He'll provide. Call me to go to Bible school, He'll provide. Amen. God sent me to anywhere, Heavenly Father will provide. Else, I'm not going. I told you before, I don't have to sell my house to fund this church. Thank you, Jesus. Today, I'm talking to you about fear the Lord. The word fear doesn't mean fear as in terror. It means reverence. Proverbs 3, verse 7 to 9, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. We read this scripture last week, but today we're going to study more about fearing the Lord. Amen. When we truly fear the Lord, we will desire to obey Him. When we truly reverence God, we will lose our appetite for what destroys the life that He has given us. So when we truly reverence God, we will lose our appetite for what destroys the life He has given us. God's word repeatedly teaches that sin destroys, wisdom preserves, righteousness protects, and reverence for God produces life. Amen. Reverence, that's fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord is a source of life. Amen. Praise God. Another thing, you know, I've been saying, you know, when you wake up in the morning, you open up your eyes, open up your mouth, thank Him, thank the Heavenly Father, be more specific. Thank the Heavenly Father. That's what my mother always do. Whenever she needs prayer, first thing came out of her mouth, she began to thank the Lord. She kept thanking the Lord. She's in hospital now, you know, because she had a fall. She will thank the Lord, thank the Lord. But this time, I make sure that she says, say thank you, Jesus. Amen. Say, thank you, Jesus. And she still looks good, just that her leg was weak. Praise the Lord. Trusting God is the antidote, is the medicine for self-wisdom. Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. So the fear of the Lord begins when we stop insisting that we know everything. You have to be careful. You begin to insist, begin to begin to pause. And why we must not lean on our own understanding, the verse 7 says, do not be wise in your own eyes. If I trust God, I will not make myself the final authority. If you insist on your own way, you always, in the back of your mind, you know, you always think that what God has to say. He may have something to say that's contrary to what you insist on. So if I lean upon God, I will not insist upon leaning upon my own understanding. So some people just insist on their own ways. Huh? Then you better change your ways. Thank you, Father. If I acknowledge God in all my ways, I will allow Him to direct my path. So when we trust in God, what trust in God produces, He will not make Himself the final authority you will not make. And you will not insist on your own understanding. You allow God to direct your path and you avoid many destructive paths. And if He directs my path, I will avoid many destructive paths that I might otherwise choose. So God's wisdom is infinitely greater than ours. Why? Because God sees what we cannot. He sees the road ahead. He sees the danger we cannot see. He sees the consequences we cannot predict. Amen. He sees the destination before we arrive. And God's wisdom is infinitely greater than ours. And the fear of the Lord begins when we stop insisting that we know everything. In fact, there are two ways to get wisdom. One, wisdom comes from Christ Jesus. That means it comes from the Word. Wisdom comes through prayer. And there are two kinds of prayer for wisdom. There are two kinds of prayer. One, efficient prayer. Lord, give us the spirit of wisdom. That's generally you pray. But there's another kind of prayer for wisdom is when you're confronted with a specific issue. That's James chapter 1. When you lack wisdom, ask Him. When you have projects on your hand, when you have to face a boss and whatever situation that coming before you, that we pray the James prayer. Ask Him for wisdom. But daily you need to pray efficient prayer for wisdom. Father, thank you, Lord, for giving us the spirit of wisdom and revelation, knowledge, view, the eyes of my understanding, be enlightened that I may know what's over your calling, what's your plan and your purpose, and what's the richest and glorious inheritance that's in the saints, what's the exceeding greatness of your power that's given to us who believe, according to the working of your mighty power. Amen. So two ways wisdom comes. One, from His Word, because wisdom comes from Christ Jesus, and Jesus is the Word. Secondly, wisdom comes through prayer. One, efficient prayer. Two, specific prayer. When you have something on hand or something coming up right in front of you, then you ask Him for wisdom. That's why James said, if you lack wisdom, amen. When you fear God, you ask Him for wisdom. If you reverence Him, you fear Him. If you think that He knows better than you, then you ask Him. If you continue in life without asking God for wisdom, that means you think you know better than Him. If not, why you never ask Him for wisdom? Why? Why you didn't ask Him for wisdom? Because you think you have wisdom, think you whatever you think of doing is enough, Lord. Else, why don't you ask Him for wisdom? You know why you don't ask wisdom? Because you've been using your mind. You think you're so smart, so intelligent, your thinking is enough, your planning, your strategizing is enough. That's why you don't ask Him. In the back of your mind, if God has far greater wisdom, if wisdom is infinite, why don't you ask Him? Why don't you ask Him? Tell me why. Pastor, I'm backslidden. Okay, that's not in my notes. That means God is dealing with you. A lot of you don't ask Him for wisdom, right? So because you think you're so smart, is it? Who dare to put up your hand that you never ask Him for wisdom? Who dare to put up? Put up, let me see. I believe this is what God is dealing today. I never forget one thing. I always keep saying, there's one period of time I kept dealing with drinking and it outrightly defied. You know what happened? It destroyed. Dot, dot, dot. I don't go into more details. You know why? Young people just don't like. Sometimes when you teach, they don't listen. When God gets more serious, He gets stern. Let me show you something. People into Israel. In the Old Testament, the nation of Israel was one nation. After Moses, they began to live in the idolatry. They broke into two kingdoms, the kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of Judah. The Jews came from the kingdom of Judah. The kingdom of Israel had 10 tribes. The kingdom of Judah had 2 tribes. Both of them were in captivity. The whole kingdom of Israel with 10 tribes completely ended, lost. Then what happened to Abraham's covenant Moses' covenant, David's covenant, all that's supposed to protect them, completely gone. The 10 tribes, the kingdom of Israel ended. But God preserved the kingdom of Judah. Through kingdom of Judah, Jesus came. Actually, Jesus came because his parents came from that tribe. Jesus is one who was from in heaven. He just came down. Even his flesh was not conceived by his mother and father. The flesh was conceived by the Holy Spirit. But God still need to use a descendant of Abraham. The parents coming down from Abraham's line for Jesus to be conceived in the mother's womb. The whole kingdom of Israel, 12 tribes, kingdom of Israel, 10 tribes, kingdom of Judah, 2 tribes. Paul went into captivity because of idolatry, because of worshipping idols. They completely ignored the covenant. They don't keep the covenant. The whole nation of Israel completely ended. Kingdom of Israel completely ended. That means don't exist anymore. Where are they? Nobody knows, even up to today. And when Jesus came, was there a nation of Jews? No. Jesus came when they were slaves to the Romans. Romans ruled over the Jews. God don't need a nation of Israel for Jesus to come the first time. Neither does God need the nation of Israel to be in Israel now for Jesus to come again the next time. And more so the next time, God doesn't need the nation of Israel. When Jesus came, was the nation of Israel there? No. They were slaves under Romans. The Romans ruled the place. Why? Because they no longer reverence him anymore. Can you imagine that? God parted the Red Sea. They saw the Red Sea parted. You only saw the flood in Nepal. They saw the Red Sea parted. They crossed over. Not long, they built a golden calf and worshipped the calf. When Moses was up in Mount Sinai for 40 days, they built a golden calf. That means after such a mighty miracle, they worship others. And I thought Israel only that. There are people who are like that too, you know. So, because you know why? There is no fear of the Lord, no reverence for him. You don't get anything else today, you better go and ask yourself why you don't ask him for wisdom. Because your wisdom is enough, right? That's the only reason why you don't ask him for wisdom, but because your wisdom is enough. After he asked me to pray for him, I say you better ask God for wisdom. Ask God for wisdom. What does it mean to fear the Lord? The phrase fear the Lord appears hundreds of times throughout Scripture. It is one of the foundational concepts of biblical wisdom. But what does it mean? The fear of the Lord does not primarily mean being terrified that God will strike us every time we make a mistake. For the believers, the fear of the Lord is reverential awe. It is recognizing God is God and I'm not. It is honoring Him. It is taking His word seriously. It is valuing what He values. It is hating what He hates. Amen. This morning, I was just telling my brother and sister, I say, sometimes I repeat, I say, in the church camp, God spoke, and Rina Iching, she made a decision, and Gary is here. And Gary is here, Gary from this year, his pay just shot up, double her pay. Before that, his pay was pathetic. Just double, not his own pay, double his wife's pay. Why? Because the word of the Lord was coming forth in the church camp, and she laid hold of it. She stood by it. I always say, don't follow your spouse who is spiritually less mature than you. If he or she wants to go, let him go. Let her go. Don't follow. When you go over to those churches, you come to a time when they plateau spiritually, they'll come back. If you follow, they won't be able to come back. If you stay here, they'll come back. See that? Because spiritually, they'll plateau. So it is recognizing, taking his word. How do we recognize and reverence him? We take his word seriously. It is valuing what he values. It is hating what he hates. It is loving what he loves. It is living with an awareness of his presence. Amen. When you wake up in the morning, you thank him for what you're doing. You're aware of his presence. My mother, without fear, every time I pray for her, she opens her mouth. Thank you. Come say Jia. Come say Jia. Come say Jia. This I told her, come say Jia. So, okay? Amen. Praise God. Is living with the awareness of his presence. It is refusing to treat holy things casually. The fear of the Lord is not the absence of love. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. Let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. So some people think that love and fear are opposites, but Scripture teaches otherwise. A mature child can deeply love his father and still respect him deeply. He may run into his father's arms, yet he would never deliberately dishonor him. He feels secure in his father's love, but he does not become careless about his father's authority. That is a healthy picture of the fear of the Lord. So grace does not eliminate reverence. Grace produces reverence. We come boldly into God's presence through Christ Jesus, yet we never become casual about his holiness. We are always aware of his presence. You're aware of his presence, then when you say something wrong, you quickly arrest. You're aware of his presence every time you're confronted with something in life, something major put into your hand, some great responsibility, some big project for you to present. First thing, you are conscious of him, you say, Lord, give me wisdom. Amen. When you're confronting your staff and then you're one man, you're not getting anywhere, ask God for wisdom. There are times in the past where when I counsel people, I just knew I'm not getting anywhere. I quietly said, Lord, give me wisdom. How wisdom to counsel this person. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Amen. Proverbs 9 verse 10. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord changes the entire framework through which we make decisions. The world's wisdom asks, what can I discover? What do I want? How can I maximize my life? Biblical wisdom asks, who is God? What God does? What does God want? How can I glorify God with my own life? Amen. Fear of God reorders our fears. Everyone fears something. The question is, what do we fear most? Is that true? I don't know. What do I fear? Yeah, everyone fears something. I fear God. Amen. So, if we fear people more than God, we will compromise. If we fear financial loss more than God, we become dishonest. If we fear rejection more than God, we may abandon convictions. If we fear sickness more than God, anxiety can dominate our thoughts. Amen? If you fear sickness. No, if anxiety dominates your thoughts because of sickness, then you check on your fear. Check on your fear of sickness. And when the fear of God becomes greater than the fear of circumstances, our lives become stable. Amen. When we fear God, fear as God is greater than everything else, we will find our proper place. Jesus on fear. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both the soul and the body in hell. That means he allowed it. And when the time comes, he doesn't destroy it. You cannot go into heaven. There's no place to go. He just had to let people go into hell. After the rapture, then after the tribulation, that's it. Finish. Amen. No more opportunity for them to get saved. When fear of God is greater than any circumstances, our life becomes stable, unshakable. Daniel, a man who feared God. Daniel lived in Babylon. Now, Daniel was from Judah. Remember, kingdom of Israel, kingdom of Judah. Kingdom of Judah was in captivity. Kingdom of Judah was in captivity by two other kings, the Assyrians and the Babylonians. Judah was captive by the Assyrians and the Babylonians. And Assyrians are very vicious people. Assyrians and Babylonians both are modern-day Iraq, not Iran. So Daniel lived in Babylon because they were in captivity. A hostile culture designed to reshape his education, his diet, his identity. They changed his name. They changed the other four Hebrew names. So, identity, values, and worship. They forbid him from praying. Yet Daniel determined in his heart that he would not defile himself. His reverence for God produced extraordinary courage. Yet Daniel determined when prayer became illegal, Daniel continued praying. When the king threatened death, Daniel remained faithful. He said, God will deliver me. When the lion's den awaited him, Daniel trusted God. The result, God preserved him. Daniel survived multitude regimes and served under multiple kings. Yeah, because they were in captivity for 70 years and many kings came about until the last king released them back to Jerusalem, and they rebuilt the temple. They rebuilt the temple of Solomon. So Daniel's principle, the fear of God can preserve a person in an environment designed to destroy his conviction. But that's where you also need to have wisdom. So Daniel survived and served under multiple kings. His life is proved that reverence for God is not weakness. It is the greatest source of enduring strength. His life illustrates an important principle. The fear of God can preserve a person in an environment designed to destroy his conviction. The fear of the Lord is the fountain of life. Proverbs 14 verse 27. The fear of the Lord is the fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of the devil. You want to live long? We're talking about long life. So one of the most beautiful descriptions of fear of the Lord appears in here. Proverbs 14 verse 27. It's a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. Snare of death, snares of the devil. So notice the purpose of the fountain of life, to turn one away from the snares of death. The fear of God does two things. It gives life. It's a fountain of life, so it gives life. This is precisely what Proverbs 3 verse 7 to 8 teaches. Long life, remember earlier on we read. Proverbs 3, 7 to 8 teaches, fear the Lord, depart from evil, experience health, experience strength in your bones. The fear of the Lord is therefore not something negative. It's a fountain. It refreshes, it nourishes, it protects, and it gives life. Amen. So you continue to renew and nourishes your spirit and soul. It turns you away from the snare of the devil that surrounds us. It gives life. Fear of the Lord will help you to enable you to experience health and strength to your bones. Bone is your structure of your body. Amen. So there are snares of the devil everywhere. The word snare suggests a trap. A trap is dangerous precisely because it is difficult to recognize. That's why you need to ask God for wisdom. It's a trap. Sometimes you can be walking into a trap. You walk into a project and you're walking into a trap. It looks good. Recently, somebody is confronted with that. Handle a project, then it became a trap. Why? Because definitely behind it, it's the snare of the devil, trap of the devil. A trap is dangerous precisely because it's difficult to recognize. Oh, you handle a project. Oh, man, the boss gave you a project because you have favor with him. Don't be surprised, it comes. There's a trap right behind it. Not because your boss springs that trap. Somebody else, the devil will spring it, but using somebody else, try to trap you, try to put the blame on you. The hunter does not place a trap in the middle of an obvious danger zone. He conceals it. Sin is often concealed, and the devil will conceal his trap. No need to conceal, you don't see him anyway. There are snares of the devil everywhere. An opportunity, or an innocent relationship, or a little compromise, or a harmless habit. A shortcut, or a little dishonesty, a little anger, attractive on the surface. But the fear of the Lord makes us suspicious of anything that contradicts God's word before the trap closes. That's why you ask God for wisdom, because before the trap is sprung, you ask God for wisdom, and wisdom will guide you, and you may deviate from the trap. So, Jesus, the ultimate example, Jesus perfectly embodied the fear of the Lord. He never operated independently of the Father. He said, I can of myself do nothing. John 5 verse 30. Amen. I can of myself do nothing. Because when he came down to earth, he laid aside all his deity. No longer all-knowing, all-powerful. He was the Son of Man. He operated, lived his life like any man on earth. Only different is spirit, soul, and body. He was perfect. Amen. That's why he grew in wisdom. He increased in wisdom. Luke chapter 2, verse 52. After he was born, he increased in wisdom. If he is God on earth, if he still holds on to his deity, he does not need to increase in wisdom. He is all wisdom. Amen. So on earth, he said, I can of myself do nothing. If you don't ask God for wisdom, means you think you can do it yourself. In the past, Gary now admits, he said, in the past, oh my goodness, wasted his life. He said his peers are already ahead of him. His peers, same age as him. Why? Because wrong decisions in the past. He lived in complete submission. In Gethsemane, Luke chapter 22, verse 42, not my will, but yours be done. And Jesus knew the suffering ahead. He knew the cross. He knew the pain. Yet he feared God more than he feared the suffering. Amen. You fear your spouse. You let the spouse lead you go wherever you want. He, he or she wants you to go, you don't have the fear of the Lord and you don't have the wisdom of God. Yet Jesus feared God more than he feared suffering. He didn't want to go to the cross. So his reverence produced obedience. His obedience produced redemption. Our redemption, his redemption also, he was in hell. His death produced resurrection. He died. That means he went to hell. Then God can raise him up. Amen. You don't die, God cannot raise you up. You know, before I got married, God spoke to Goeng. He said, we must fall to the ground and die. Then you produce much fruit. God spoke to her. Then we went to see her father. I'm telling you, her father gave us a hard time. I said, we want to get married because the company wants to send me to US. Father said, no, you go US. Save up money first. Come back 5 years later, then marry. I said, no. But I cannot force her, right? I said, you ask her lah. And she told the father, I'm going with him. 4 days, father gave her a silent treatment. If it's God, whatever it is, you know what? God was speaking to her, he said, yours and your father's relationship must let go. Not say severe diamonds, must let it go. God always prepares. I cannot force her. I said, you insist to go. I said, I told the father, you ask her. She has to decide. Of course, I know the father's situation. So, you know, I did the day before I fast and pray. You know? I fast and pray. But before God spoke to her, we must fall to the ground and die. Then you produce much fruit. So then after when we went to see the father, then that was the test. That was a trial. That prepared her. The word of the Lord always prepares you. So in front of the father, I said, you ask her. She has to do this. It's up to her. In front of the father, she told the father, I'm going. Amen. Praise the Lord. So his death produces resurrection, and his resurrection became the foundation of our eternal life. If he didn't die, we are finished today. So the fear of the Lord leads us to Christ. The fear of the Lord can never drive us away from God. It should drive us towards him. Isaiah 6 verse 5, when Isaiah saw the holiness of God, he cried, woe is to me, for I am undone. But God did not leave Isaiah in condemnation. He cleansed him. Then he commissioned him, and this is a pattern of grace. The fear of the Lord always drives us towards him. This is the pattern of grace. Revelation of holiness of God. Revelation of conviction. Revelation of cleansing. And revelation of commission. For us in the New Testament, the blood continues to cleanse us. Always, it has not stopped and it covers us. So the fear of the Lord reveals our need for Christ. Christ supplies the righteousness we cannot produce ourselves. The Holy Spirit then empowers us to walk with him, to walk where he leads us. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Last time my father-in-law, he said, you know, you mustn't get into debt. You mustn't get a loan to buy a car. You cannot loan to buy HDB. Hello, I think I got my father who is a multimillionaire. I get married, I go and buy HDB, get a loan from how to buy. You say, you go, you know, 5 years later, come back and get married. I said, no. He said, nah, you know, you mustn't get into debt. No. Some people marry straight, buy condo. I booked the biggest one, executive apartment. And it was the right move. Thank God I did that. Then when I sold, you know. So he said, you cannot even loan to buy. How to save to buy a HDB? Don't let alone condo. I went to HDB, sign for the executive apartments, most expensive one. Biggest one. After that, I buy a car some more. All on loan. Praise God. Amen. But anyway, Chinese New Year, every time I go back, my wife said new. I said, okay. And new, and then bring 2 oranges and ang pao. Still new. Some people think that, well, I cannot new. Who say so? I'm not worshipping him. I'm just honoring. New down means you worship. Since when? Grace, righteousness, and Holy Spirit. Fear of God reveals our need for Christ. Christ supplies the righteousness we cannot produce ourselves. The Holy Spirit then empowers us to walk in the Spirit. Amen. So, fear of the Lord reveals our need for Him. Amen. For the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. God's prescription, wonderfully simple. Fear the Lord. Cultivates a habit, a holy reverence for the Father in every area of life. 2, depart from anything that's evil. Don't have a part, you know, in the workplace. Boss asks you to do. Don't care your boss or your parents. Ask you going to falsify documents. The oil tycoon, the children are all in trouble because they did what the father told him, falsify documents, falsify invoice. But do not negotiate with the things God tells you to leave behind. Then walk in his wisdom. Treasure his wisdom, obey his word, and turn immediately when he says turn. Amen. Do not be wise in your own eyes, means do not assume you know better than God. You don't ask for wisdom, means you know better than him. You've been doing it for years, so you think you know. Sometimes we just do it because you're so good in your work. You may not ask him for wisdom, at least like my mother thank him. Then I realized, for the first time, I realized, he always say, come say, thank you, Lord. So I make mother say, thank you, Jesus. I said, thank you, Jesus. Amen. You know, when her leg was weak, that's why she fell. And the doctor or nurse or physiotherapist gave her the brace to wear. She didn't want to wear. She said, I wear, I'll fall. I told her, no, you won't. When? Oh, yesterday I went and see her. Oh, she wore it. How do I know? Common sense, correct? You wear that thing. So I asked the nurse, I said, nurse, go at home, sleep also wear. Praise God, make sure she don't take it out. So do not assume that you know better than God. Self-wisdom leads us from paths that appear right, but ends in destruction. Do not play with the snares of the devil. What looks harmless on the surface may be a concealed trap beneath. You know, like just now I say, wow, your boss give you a project. Wow, you're so high and mighty. Well, I got this project nobody else got. Just be careful the trap that is just lying next to that project. Could be to the other people that, you know, you're supposed to work with. Turn immediately when he says turn. Delay obedience is disobedience. Respond to God's direction without hesitation. Amen. So, once he speaks, you obey him. Behind every command is God's love. Behind his warning is his protection. When he says no, his desire for a greater yes. There's something else he will say yes to you. And behind the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Amen. It's refreshing, nourishing, protecting, and life-giving. The fountain of life. Proverbs 14 verse 22, the fear of the Lord is the fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. So fear the Lord, depart from evil, experience health and strength. The fear of the Lord is not something to dread. It is the very source of life. Amen. Because he's a good God. He's a good father. So whatever it is, he says to you, there's no need to fear. Amen. He speaks to you. You don't understand. Just do it. When he tells you to go, just go. He tells you to stay, just stay. Don't care whether your spouse wants to go. Let your spouse go. You follow God. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.